send us the start date.
Well, I think we can send it out.
Right, okay.
Get the big screen on.
Good evening, and thank you for inviting me. And most of these are up, obviously, at the start. Obviously, I'd like to commit to having my evidence and approving evidence. And that links the reasons of around the town, because they're from David and Eric, and also safeguarding as well. Children are in school, we know they're safe. Obviously, if they're in school well, they know that we need the tables. And as we move forward, tables, I think it'll connect with the tables as well. Children successful with the town school, that's really important. The data on the outline, which we'll come on to in a moment, is generally an improving one, particularly with overall attendance. And persistent absence is reduced compared to the previous year, so that's good. It's not all sweet and light. There is concern about the persistent absence at secondary level, and that's something that we'll talk about and work on. And we've got a range of strategies for schools to improve attendance, in particular working with IAS, LLPs, and the rest. Regional school regularly, Carol's team, working with schools, and also the families attendance. None of these cases are long-standing cases, and we work to encourage families to understand the value of consistent attendance. So we move on.
So, just on overall absence for schools, primary, secondary and special schools combined, I always go back to 2012-13, I could go back to 11-12, where the island had probably the worst absence figures and persistent absences in the country. Obviously, some significant changes happened in 2013-14 with the reintroduction, I don't sell my service here, the Education Welfare Service, where it depleted to virtually nil, came back and started working with all schools at that stage. And we saw that initial significant reduction in absence in school. At that stage, we could very much get schools on board to challenge absence from school. So within a year, we saw that rapid improvement, which has stayed reasonably stable. We seem to be following the national trajectory now. So if nationally it's gone up slightly, we go up slightly. If it's reduced slightly, we reduce slightly. However, within that, what I would say is primary absence is consistently now in line or better than national absence when it comes out. We haven't got the 2018-19. We're almost a month too early at this meeting because it will be published this month. But the figure I've put on there for the last academic year reflects our census data. So it may alter slightly. I'm not expecting it to be. But it's an improvement. Special schools were better, consistently better than national data. Secondaries are still our challenge. But what I'm saying is it's not getting worse, it is creepingly getting better. And I'll come back to the reasons behind that on the next slide. Sorry. The reasons for absence. I put this one in, I don't think it's actually in the report, but just to show that actually the reasons for absence that we see on the island are broadly in line with the national data. We see slightly more unauthorised absence than authorised, and I think that is down to our challenge of challenging absence from school and not just accepting every Friday that Johnny's ill, the schools will challenge that. And that is coming down, but broadly the reasons we might, people often think that we're going to have a higher holiday absence because we're on holiday, we're not. that is stable, the same as other authorities. Other authorised circumstances is slightly higher. I'm trying to get to the bottom of that as well, that's why. But we're broadly in line with the national. And then, persistent absence from school. So persistent absence measure now is any child that has 10% or more sessions away from school. You can see where it changed in 2015-16. Prior to that, it was 15% or more sessions. So that's why you see the significant rise there. So again, we provisional figure for this year shows that it's come down slightly. And I repeat what I said on the first slide, primary consistently better than national, special consistently better. We have work to do in secondary. But it's not all negative. When I started, if I go right back to that beginning when it was really bad, the number of pupils we had on incredibly low attendance, so less than 50%, some on less than 10%, was phenomenal. Now, we have very few, and they are genuinely not in for a reason. So, our issue, we have moved on, it's not reflected in the figures, at secondary now, is children that are sitting between 85 and 89.99% attendance, and consistently sitting there, so they make up the system absent figure look bigger. To verify that, I have a big thing, absence from school. There's obviously lots of different reasons. If it's a school issue, it's solved very easily with our engagement with families. But a lot of our children, there's multiple reasons why they're not. So we look to do an audit through the LSCB for children with really poor attendance. And when that was put into the planning, so that we could do this multi-agency audit, we chose the figure of 50% and below attendance. When it came round to choosing the cases, we didn't have enough students to choose to do that audit and had to change our threshold. So we went up to children with 80% or less attendance, so we had enough variety of cases to audit. So overall figure, not good enough. However, it's just got to get this majority of children over the line that are pulling that figure down. And certainly we're having a drive. I think currently, certainly my team, we've got all the secondaries apart from one, are out on intensive weeks of looking at every pupil that falls into that bracket and having an action associated with them, an appropriate action, to try and drive that attendance up. So we've got a better figure at the end of the year.
As Karen has alluded to, the range of strategies are wide in order to achieve attendance. We have one single group, and obviously the schools, first and foremost, got duty and responsibility to work on attendance and all the things that happen at schools to do that. The primary schools receive strategies in schools to encourage children and the parents to understand that information. There are annual visits to schools. Karen's team, so we'll go through, they'll analyse school their attendance rates and so forth, and make suggestions. Not work, and more tables to work with around attendance. It's not just a consultation yet, there's poor attendance, and there's not some complex reason behind it. Might be all social services, might be mental health issues, transport issues, there might be child who's just fallen out with one or two teachers, sometimes the parent has fallen out with four or five teachers. massive work. In those cases, it will take time to work through and work with children and families with good attendance. Schools do involve in that work, but obviously family service also support that to play. I think the school improvement teams, they pick up with the mayor schools, we have that data.
So in regard to a couple of things, first of all, secondary behaviour partnership, which is just recently in the recent Ofsted inspections has been recognised as good. We, all the secondaries by one, take part in the secondary behaviour partnership, and they bring cases that are high profile and causing concern, and we problem solve round to the table. We hold that once a month, and we problem solve. Each school brings two cases a month, and if there's time, they're allowed. They always try and sneak extras in, but if there's time, they're allowed an extra one, but I try to stick to 2 months. We problem solve amongst each other. And that's shown great success at reducing exclusion for those children, having a way forward, people coming up with plans that someone hasn't perhaps thought of, and then identifying on occasion modulators of ways of working with that family, because families often behind some of the issues, to improve the situation. The other thing on the top of the annual monitoring visit, that is done to ensure compliance with registers, so that schools are marking them correctly. And as Dave said, we would then action or recommend to the school anything that we said. One of the schools said that I could spot a B code on a register from about 10 miles away, and I can, which is a code that's used to say they're not inside. It's obviously no sign. So, and then the service through the provide the statutory service provides a statutory, which is around the enforcement side, and the service level agreement that we have with schools is the proactive early intervention side service.
Question from councillors? Yes, Councillor Love.
Just a quick observation, and thank you again for the book. I worked with Dave since he came, and I was there in the Education Welfare Office, and I worked with the husband denied, so I can see why that will happen in terms of the numbers and the collapse. It's very complex work which you do, and just thank you for your report, and just encourage you to keep doing the best you can. And obviously, when you've got people on the ground who are doing wanting more work, for example, people refer as well. And we will go later. This is very different. And whilst I accept what you say about the, you know, getting that small number of 8% over the line, it's more my concern would be more for the long term, not authorised, unauthorised absences. Because obviously they're missing a lot of schooling and that affects many other things, including the not authorised migration.
I mean, just as an assurance on that, whilst I say we want to get that group, we're having a real focus on that group, that doesn't mean to say we're ignoring anyone else. But we will look at anybody that drops below 97% attendance, and we do that intensive work with individual families. So we do escort into school, we will facilitate meetings, etc.
Yeah, just one quick. Can you describe what our team is like on the end, obviously?
So there is myself as manager, and then a team lead, and then we have 4 education and inclusion officers,
which would
have been welfare officers previously. They're still called that, to be honest. And 4, they each have an assistant, so 4 and 4, so 8 in total.
Councillor Andre.
Thank you. Just in brief, I know that one of the reasons that is most often cited for absence is peer pressure and bullying. Now, I know it's down to each individual school to have their own anti-bullying policy, but it's also my experience that this is not always embedded throughout the school in terms of everybody, all the sort of staff buying into it. What kind of overview do you have of that, if any?
So, obviously, if we're working with individual cases, we assess and know that. We respond to any parent that may phone us and raise that as an issue. We've had a real push this year, certainly I've been pushing it, particularly at secondary, that actually the next stage of secondary development, which every year, is a whole school buy-in. to attendance. Mm. It's not only the SLT lead who has responsibility,
exactly.
or maybe the attendance officer that buys in doing training every day. It's a whole school. So currently at Medina, we're running a little project with year 9 and 10. We made it a bit of a competition, but it involves all the staff playing a part as well. And getting them to understand. We also run behavioural attendance network meetings and encourage school staff to attend those to learn best practice. So.
Thank you, that's very reassuring. Thank you.
Councillor Howe?
Years ago, we had that trouble with the school and the going out to government and that bit, that school absenteeism. Do you think that after that, a lot of head teachers didn't want to sort of get involved in it for the problems and that created that time of, well, went on forever, didn't it?
It felt like it. That was quite one specific issue of holidays.
Yeah, that's right.
And I would say actually the heads of the schools did want it resolved and clear guidance because it perhaps wasn't as clear. Did it affect how the heads have responded? Not particularly. I think we saw the biggest drop. I think there's some misunderstanding that the penalty notices used that were challenged at that time didn't exist before 2013, and that's what the challenge was. It existed since 2007. Head teachers do still apply their discretion, and can still apply their discretion and do. The number of absences through holidays did reduce, but it reduced way back when we first had the issue of overall absence from school. It's almost a red herring, that case, although it did give clarity, so that was the outcome was beneficial to all.
Thank you very much.
Mayor, before I call, Councillor Cameron.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. As you know, some parents have got a problem about having their children at school or not. Looking at the list, at what point do you involve the parents? Or are they involved in any of those groups? Or do you consult them before you get to that stage?
So our initial intervention, our early intervention, either through delivery because we're working with the schools or our expectation of how the school do it. As soon as there is an attendance issue, the parent is a recognised absence pattern, poor pattern of attendance, the parent should be involved. We certainly have, before the case ever comes for individual work, we would have a meeting and invite the parent into school. If we can't get hold of the parent, we go and door knock and try every effort to engage the parent. It's absolutely key that parents are involved. One, to make them aware, two, to identify what often there is an issue that can be addressed by meeting with them. So, yeah, right from the beginning.
Before Councillor Reading, I've got a couple of questions. Lack of vaccination among children. I can't remember whether you showed us a figure for health, these children being off from health. Has the lack of vaccination, I understand, on the mainland, they have more months now than they have. If children are actually ill, do the schools want the children there? So there are other interact things, and thirdly, truancy. Is there a separate figure for truancy, or do we not have any of that?
In answer to your first question, I haven't got figures back, but obviously there is marked illness, children will be marked ill. The schools are expected to follow the public health guidelines for any absence. I'm not sure there is a link to vaccinations. I'm not aware of anything. We will see cycles. There's no vaccination for it, but children parts will go through a school. And you just know that you'll have a few weeks of poor attendance as an intervention period. But I'm not aware of anything linked to vaccine that is causing an issue within our schools. We certainly push the schools that we can't challenge illness absence unless there's a reason to do so. So I alluded to that little Johnny having every Friday off with a headache or a cold or something, starts to look a little bit, but I think I need to look a bit further. But if a child, we generally, I would expect schools to use their intuition that it's genuine and not challenge that. In a few cases where it's investigated and there is no evidence, we work with the school nurses where illness has always been cited. So those early meetings that I just talked about, we would get school nurses on those meetings to meet the parents. In the other one, in regards to truancy, it's a word that's used at less than necessary, but truancy is the unauthorised absence. So on my slide when I said we've got a higher unauthorised absence slightly at the moment because we challenge. So any absence that hasn't got a verified reason would be the absences that we would probably use the terminology truancy, although we don't call it unauthorised now, and follow through procedures as far as they needed to go in regards to that. So yes, we do have to check.
Councillor Brady.
Thank you, Chair. I believe the more the children in school, the more they'll learn. You know, that's like the boy in that theory. Absence, well, we get quite often think about people who are fine as well like anyone else. It doesn't bother me because I know the head teachers on the island all have a policy and they stick to the policy. That's all we can ask for. And I know Carol and her team do a fantastic job. But we have a policy, Carol and her team work to, they go beyond that. They do other things outside the policy to try and avoid taking people to court, and that's what it's not what people want to do. We had a conversation recently with a well-known local person, and then met, in fact, it's from a prosecutor, effectively, because our policy is really clear. It's on our website. The schools apply it to the letter, because they are fairly believe in what people in school get. So I'm afraid to have their team, the work they do. They get a lot of work to do from the schools. In some authority, they'll leave the school to do some of the work themselves, and the IY aren't seeing do all the work. The schools have made a decision. We'll be working with the school very closely, the heads are really on the ball and making sure they're fair to all their pupils, so we can ask the possible teachers really. So I think we have a good policy on the island because the more people in school, the more children will learn.
Sean, do you want
to? Well, I was just wondering about this report. It's quite a broad report. Do you have a more detailed report breaking it down into centres and premium, preschool meals, adult children?
Yes, we will have the ability to do that. There's been a little bit of a gap in getting the deep dive data because we lost our data team. They are there, and they haven't somebody, but they've only recently started. What I will say is that in regards to SEN, maybe help with this, but with regards to children with SEN and SEN support, there is a nationally a gap of worst attendance, but ours is better than national. So I'm not going to say there isn't a gap, but ours is better. Actually, SEN statements of children often got, sorry, children with ACP have got better attendance. The children with children on FSM, preschool meals, there's a gap, but we are better than national on that. The one anomaly that we've got where we are worse than national is children as an additional language. But our cohort is so small, one child really skews that data, so I think 1 year we can be worse, 1 year we're much better, because that one child gets 10. Sometimes 5 to 10% difference in our figures, but we are broadly in line or better on the vulnerable figures, although there is a gap.
Now, I only ask a question because how you target resources if you don't know that information.
What I would say is we know it from the data we've got, but it's not verified data, and I wouldn't want to share unverified data. But we look. Very much individuals and have their profile in front of us, collating all that together. We will be able to do that shortly. Thank you.
I think it's Colin.
Sorry, Councillor Love.
Thank you. Just wanted to comment on something you said, Paul. I mean, I understand why you would say the more children find the better because it keeps, but in actual fact, the impacts on those who are in economically different, that finding can impact significantly on that family life, and that means that the family will suffer in other ways sometimes. It's a very, very complex, as I said earlier, when children are not in education for whatever reason. When I was in people for furlough units, those children were living in very, very complex positions. To find them would significantly impact on the child and the family and so on. So it's about balancing that all. And so, therefore, there has been, as you said, some media jumping about the island about how they're finding people significant. I just think that needs to be balanced against the impact on that family, which could actually reduce things. So I'm not very excited, but I'm just saying that it's complex, but I kind of think we need to be a bit careful about that in terms of how we find, because it's the right thing to find, not because because we can. So that's what I'm going to say.
I'll just say that you're quite right. This head teacher to make a decision, is it authorised or unauthorised? That's the decision the school makes. The rest of it goes to Karen and their team, their policy to work to. But outside that policy, Karen puts her own personal, looks at each case individually, and that type of thing is that will be considered outside of the policy. The policy follows.
I'm not going to say that.
At the individual case, rather than that's it, so many ladies off that comment. Karen would take the personal stance on that as well. That's the important thing, as you rightly say.
Yeah, I just add to that. I think, again, it sort of gets skewed in the media.
Yeah.
Each one is looked at individually. We don't find that much. And there are two very distinct, and it's not relevant to the report, but you have your unauthorised holidays and then you have other absences. Each of those cases would be looked at individually, and actually from our caseload that we work, which will be sometimes 500 or 600 children will come through our books in an academic year, less than 5% are taken down a legal route, because our aim is to improve their attendance, is not to go down a legal route with them. Thank you,
Chairman. I noted that the 2018-19 data won't be available until end of March. When that's available, then perhaps we can work together to circulate that informally to members. And I think then going forward in the future work plan, if we perhaps put an item in the future work plan for about May time, when that data is available, then we have the up-to-date data, and perhaps even look at the enhanced data that may be available for breaking down the details at council level. So if we can move that forward, Chairman.
Thank you very much for the presentation. And we now move on